Luke chapter 9. I'm going to get into something today, but it could take a couple of weeks to get fully into it. We're going to see what happens. And this is not going to be really probably your most exciting message you hear, but it's going to be an important one. Luke chapter 9, are you there? Jesus is teaching here. And let's just go straight to verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, that's my introductory verse, and there's a lot in that. But the topic we're going to talk about is backsliding. What does it mean to backslide? Because I'm going to give you several different definitions of it, several different applications of it. This is a better way to put it. And he's nobody that starts to work. He's talking about in the kingdom. Now, he says, starts to plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. First of all, what's plowing represent? Farming.
Farming,
maybe you plow, in fact, pretty much universal. You plow to sow seed. He's getting into ministry activity. He's getting ready to sow seed. A normal man that starts out. Now, plowing is the beginning phases. You know, I've been off and on farms much of my life, grew up around and on them. And when you get ready to reap a harvest, the first thing you do is plow. Amen. Or you may burn the old crop off first. Can't say burn a lot of fields off before they plow. You get rid of the stubble. You plow, then you disc, then you harrow, then you sow, then you cultivate, maybe put down, you know, your insecticides and weed killers, whatever else. Cultivate some more all the way through. Pray for rain at the right times. And then you harvest. So plowing is the first step of a farming career. So anybody that gets started in this kingdom lifestyle, this kingdom, just called Christian experience, and looks back, Jesus said he's not fit for the kingdom. Now, backsliding is when you advance to one level with God and you decide to go back to an earlier level. Here's somebody plowing, they're looking back. Now, what does that mean to look back? I mean, what's it mean for a farmer? He's plowing the field to look back.
See what he's done.
Is it to see what he's already plowed?
Yeah.
See what he has to plow.
I don't think that's the application here. He's talking about, you're looking back at what you used to do.
Yes.
For us, anybody that gets into Christianity and really starts to take it serious and moves out. See, plowing is not just, how can I say, casual Christianity. Plow's starting to take it serious. And nobody that's moving in and decides to look back at what they used to do, what they used to have, maybe how easy it was looking back, is not fit for the kingdom. And that's one of the greatest temptations of the enemy. Amen. Is because Christianity involves work. We restate that Christianity involves warfare. You're going to have to battle when you become a serious Christian. The assaults of the enemy against your mind, against your emotions, even against your health, you've got to stand your ground in battle with the Word, right? And Christianity involves effort, soul application, in other words, thinking, watching, praying. And before we were saved, unless you got saved really young, we came out of a life of hard time. We did what we wanted to. I mean, if I wasn't working off the clock, find me a beer can, find me a party, find me whatever, do what I wanted to. But once I got saved, of course, that got put to the side. And it became, God, what would you have me do? and my life was no longer my own.
Right.
I was bought with a price. It wasn't what I thought I wanted to do. It's what God wanted me to do. Now, when I got into it and I did what God wanted me to do, I found out that's really what I needed to be doing anyway, and that's what I wanted to do. I've discovered if you do what God wants you to do, it'll work best for you in the long run anyway.
Yes.
But there is a development process. I'm thinking about how many people have joined the military. I mean, they enlisted. And halfway through boot camp, they decided, what was I thinking? Now, I don't know if anybody was in here was military or not. I was not. BJ's not here. But I've seen the movies, read a few books, and they break you. One of the intentions of boot camp is not just to build you up, it is to get you fit, to teach you how to carry that weapon or march or whatever. But part of the intention is to break you. You lose your own identity. You're no longer, you know, Jim Bob. You're now, you know, private such and such, serial number, da, 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 and that's it. Sir, yes, sir. And they'll work you until the point of exhaustion. They can break your will to be fully military. Is anybody aware of this? The goal is to get you. When the sergeant says move, you move. Well, I don't know about that, Sergeant. No, no. You don't have that choice. Not only that, once you've enlisted, you don't get to go back. Once you enlist and you try to go back, they have a place for people.
Wow.
It's called Fort Leavenworth. Amen. You do your own thing and they have a place for you.
Wow.
It's either the military's way or the highway. And Paul said, we need to endure hardness as a good soldier. And a lot of people get into the kingdom and think, you know, I just enjoyed being drunk better than this. Understand, there's so many battles, especially starting out learning how to fight, how can I say, scripturally. How to function in the kingdom. Especially if you're not in a church that teaches you how. Well, I shouldn't say that. If you're not a teacher, it doesn't teach you how the devil leaves you alone. If you're in a church where they're not teaching you how to carry the power of the kingdom, the devil won't even bother you for the most part. This is kind of a side track. I think I mentioned this here recently. But there are a lot of mega churches that exist. Some of them are Holy Ghost, some are full of fire, some are doing great things. But the vast majority of larger churches, even from 100 to 100 to thousands, have gotten that way because they made it so easy for the people. They're not being developed. They're not being trained. They're not being taught how they can carry an anointing or function in the giftings. How to speak the word, how to monitor what they're not being taught that. And so the devil says, they're no threat to me. They're no threat whatsoever. In fact, he'll guide people to those establishments. Because if he can get them into a counterfeit religious establishment, we've been teaching on that on Tuesday nights, then, and they get settled there, they're no threat. He's happy to have them in a non-threatening position, even if they believe in Jesus. Because a Christian that believes in Jesus, that doesn't know how to speak the word with authority, allows Satan to keep control of the earth as long as he wants to. They're no threat. And so, we as Christians, if we take this seriously, you're going to get attacked.
Yeah.
And not just that, you're going to get bombarded at times. You'll feel like nobody likes you, you're failing, you're letting God down, you know, you're coming short of the glory, you've disappointed everybody. You're the only one like you, whatever, he'll bombard you and bombard you. You better know where to go to when that happens. You run to your pastor, leadership, get them to pray with you, hold your hand. Don't run away, run to. And so in that bombardment, there's a temptation to say, this is too hard. I had it easier before looking back. Now, just so you don't think you're the only one, has anybody gone through this experience? Raise your hand up if you've gone through that. If you didn't raise your hand, you need to get saved. I'll fire you off. Because the devil doesn't leave anybody alone. He'll do everything he can to rip you out of revival. And one of the ways he does is get you to look back. Oh, now they want you to tithe. Think what you can do with that money looking back. You got to go to church Sunday morning. You used to be able to sleep in Sunday morning. Amen? Well, he doesn't throw in the part because you had to because of such a bad hangover you had. And so, Jesus says, if you're looking back to your old life, to your old habits, your old escape mechanisms, you're not ready to go into the kingdom. Not fit means you're not ready. You're not qualified yet. Because to go into the kingdom means you become singularly focused. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You've made a life decision, not just kind of a kind of happenstance. You decided, Jesus, you own my life. Amen. We are crucified with Christ, right? Yet we live.
Yes.
Yet not I. Christ lives within me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me.
Yes.
You live for God's will. And you're willing to, you got to become willing to go through every devil in hell to stay the course. I'm saying it because we tend to think of backsliding as somebody deciding to be a Christian just quitting. Sometimes I'm getting ahead of myself. It's just deciding to go back to a religion. Amen. I'll get further than that before we're done. It's stepping back from where you're focused on going into an easier, let's just call it a powerless route. Having a form of godliness but denying the power that from such eternal way, right? Let's go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now I want to talk about three types of backsliding. Flesh backsliding. Soul backsliding. It's four types. Power backsliding and heart backsliding. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Are you there? Let me get there. Let's go to verse number 25. This is Paul writing. And every man that striveth for the mastery, they want to be the best. I believe God put something in each of us. We want to be the ultimate that we can be. For Him. I want to max it out. I don't want to get to heaven and say, well, you made it. You slid in. You know, congratulations. I had a mansion for you, but here's your cabin because, you know, you didn't do anything. I don't want that. I want to say, you maxed out the effort, your effort. How about you?
Yeah.
Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Temperate means self-controlled in all things. Self-controlled really means there's nothing the enemy can do in your life to get you pushed over the edge. It's never happened to me. Pastor Jim says it's happened to him once or twice in his walk with God when he quit. I don't know if it's quit God or quit the ministry. I think he just quit the ministry or whatever. I've had enough. I quit. And he quit for like a day. And came to himself and went back. Amen. I've never been to that place. I've had the thought hit me many, many times, but I never said the words. and I never pulled back. But I'm telling you, you go with the march with God, you'll have some I quit temptation moments. Amen? I don't think I could take any more of this. And I've been there many times. I don't know how much more of this I can take. I mean, this is just... never expected this. Kind of another side track. God called me really initially in 1987 to follow Him fully. About 1987. 1993 called me to the ministry. And all He told me was, quit your job or you'll die. He didn't say, if you follow me, you'll feel like you want to die. Are you guys able to follow me this morning?
Yeah.
Had I known the problems ahead, I don't know if I'd have done it.
Yeah.
I think I would have. I think I'd have still said yes, whatever. I really believe I was that. I am but hunger for God, whatever I got to go through. Because I said it, I just didn't know how much it would involve. And it would take so many years of battles, working the Word and such. I don't know how many I don't feel like I want to quit or I want to die moments there would be, but I've had them. I've had moments. I never said it. But in my head, Lord, just take me. Just go on now. I've had it with this. I've never said it. I've never hoped it, but I've had the thought hit me. You follow me? Try to get you to meditate. I've always cast it down. And I always will. And the battles aren't like they used to be because if you reach a level, you can war at a higher level. Anyway, had I known what I was going to be facing, how many, this is not fun moments, I might have said no. But I never looked back. For one thing, I knew what a mess my life was as far as alcohol and wrong thinking it was before. There's no way I'm going back to that. Jerry Savelle said one time, if he was to discover that there was no heaven, that when you die it's all over, he'd still live like he did because the principles work.
Yeah.
And you have the joy, you follow me, mm-hmm. The peace. I feel like I'm rambling a bit. No man is striving for the mastery. Or any man that strives for the master. He's tempered, self-controlled in all things. The enemy has no buttons he can push in your life, no levers he can pull, no circumstance he can bring you that you quit. You might feel like it, but you're so self-controlled, you do not go off. You do not. I'm not talking about not having a moment where you maybe say the wrong word or you have a little bit of a meltdown. I'm talking about self-control that you don't give up. You stay the course. Amen?
Amen?
You said, not today, devil. In fact, you're probably saying, I always win. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now he's been talking about an athletic event. We're after an incorruptible crown. We're not after what the world can offer us. Let me put this in terms of what we're talking about. Any man that looks straight ahead toward what God's called him to is looking for an incorruptible crown, a kingdom that can't pass away. Any man looking back is looking for a corruptible result, a natural result that will fade away, a natural moment of fun that's not going to produce anything eternally. I decided a long time ago to exchange fun for rewards. Let me make it clear. I have more fun than anybody. I enjoy my life. But I know in the walk I'm in, there's going to be battles. There'll be responsibilities. We get one result Friday night. You had to just step up and take a responsibility for something. But you'll find out if you do it God's way, you'll step into something you never thought you could step into. giftings, peace, anointings, the knowledge that you're in God's perfect will. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now, again, it's a verse we could teach on all day. He says, I don't fight uncertainly. Most Christians do. Most Christians, when they get attacked by the enemy, don't know how to do spiritual warfare. They don't know they can speak the word, stand on it, the enemy will have to flee. They may have read the verses, but they're really not comprehending that it really works and how to do it. They're not aware that the kingdom of heaven has spiritual principles. If you apply them, you can get spiritual or kingdom or power results. Amen? So when they have a need, they don't know they can sow a seed. They don't know they can speak a word. They just have to try to handle it by their own ability. And they're beating the air. Beating the air means wasted effort. Hopeless effort. Not knowing what you're doing. Uncertainty means, for example, here's an example of beating the air. Christian becomes sick with something serious. Oh God, please heal me. Oh, please heal me. I feel so bad. If you felt this bad, I would heal you. And if I was God, and you know, hell, if you'll heal me, I'll clean the church. If you'll heal me, I'll give a donation. If you'll heal me, I'll go, you know, help somebody out. None of those work. You do not access the healing power of God by begging Him, because He's already given it, made it available to you. God's already said you're healed. There's one way, really two ways, but one primary way you can access healing that you know is going to come. By faith. You speak the word over your life, and you stand until it manifests. You take whatever steps God tells you. By His stripes I was healed. You do something you couldn't. And you stand and you keep stepping forth until that devil breaks off and leaves. Because he will. It's knowing how by faith to step into divine health, divine healing. God's already promised us healing. So we're already on a sidetrack here. If you're begging God to heal you, you're asking God for what He already gave you, and that's unbelief.
Yeah.
If you're praying or begging God to heal you, He's already said, I have. Receive it by faith. You go, oh, please, God. No, there it is. Receive it. Oh, please. It's unbelief. If you're trying to make a deal with God, God, if you heal me, I'll clean the church, I'll give an offering, I'll go bless somebody. You're trying to buy from God or barter with God for something He already gave you. Jesus already bought for us.
Yes.
By His stripes, paid the payment that we're healed. So what is that? That's beating the air with uncertainty. I'm going to throw every form I know how to make a deal with God or beg God to try to get what He's already given it to you. So it's beating the air uncertainly when you're doing that. And we don't fight. We don't proceed with uncertainty. We get Pastor Jack Cheek's book, Spiritual Principle of the Kingdom of Heaven, that tells us how we can apply spiritual physics to receive what we need, right?
Amen.
How to live by faith. And so, if you want to win the prize, if you want to progress ahead, you find out how God says we should do it. Let's read on. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul recognized unrestrained flesh as an enemy. He said, I keep my body under, lest even myself who wrote so many books of the New Testament. Of course, this is one of the early ones. Who had the revelation of righteousness, that walked so close with God, says, even me, if I don't maintain restraints in my life, could lose out with God. Cast away. Losing out. We're going to find out before we're done, the actual unforgivable sin can only be committed by somebody that's functioning in the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit and such. The primary unforgivable sin. Because it talks about it in the Word. It gives us details. Somebody has tasted of the good world to come. So it's possible to serve God all your life and still lose out. Why? Backsliding. And one of the ways he says backsliding can take place is through the flesh not being properly restrained. Now, we know some of the main ways that can happen. Probably the predominant things we think about are adultery, fornication, even at a higher level, homosexuality. Things where you're letting the flesh rule your life. And we go into potentially major alcohol abuse, drug use, that you may still believe in God, but He can't be your Lord anymore because chemicals, demons are running your life, pulling the reins. Is this okay with you? We have a mindset that you can just get saved and do whatever you want to and it's going to work. Paul didn't agree with that.
Yes.
Amen. Now understand, God, we have a loving God.
Yes.
He's not like, oh, you made a mistake. To hell with you. He's not like that. But if somebody decides through these, we're starting with the flesh not being kept in restraint, that people get to the place, I'm just going to follow flesh and not God. And make no effort to follow God anymore. Now I believe if you'll make an effort to follow God, He's right there with you. Even when you trip, even when you make mistakes, even if you have addictions, if you'll make an effort to keep going toward God versus just say, I'm just going to follow the devil. It feels good to do it. I think if you make an effort, God's right there with you.
Yes.
He's going to take you all the way to heaven. Because you're going after the things of God. You've not given up on it. The danger becomes is when you say no, I give up. So things can open doors to that stuff would be pornography. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Because it brings men and women into captivity where the flesh dominates and they can no longer restrain what their body does. And studies have proven so many people that started out being rapists, even serial killers, child molesters, the whole gamut, even much of the human trafficking started with pornography. Well, it's just pictures. It's just pictures that open doors.
Yes, that's right.
To let the flesh start to dominate.
That's right.
And there's what they call a desensitization. Yeah. That you get into it and you start to try to gratify what the demons raising up in your flesh, even how your flesh is reacting, you try to gratify that, it starts to steamroll or escalate because of desensitization. Now you need more and more. And it leads people to hell. Amen. I recognize this picture, but they are dangerous, dangerous pictures. Amen. Some of the drugs today, I used to do a lot of drugs. So did my wife. But they didn't have them what they have today. We didn't have, there weren't, hey, the whole crowd I ran with, talking about a lot of people doing a lot of stuff. nobody's out on the streets defecating all of themselves and acting in the daylight, walking around traffic, acting like they're zombies. No, it didn't happen. But the meth and the crack and the stuff, I don't know enough about it anymore. The fentanyl, the stuff that's out there, has wrecked people's lives to the place, to the place they don't control anymore. At least when I came down for something, I could still have control over myself. Not justifying it, because I did stupid stuff. But it wasn't where it totally took you over. And pornography can have that same effect. It can take over your life. And I've heard many, many testimonies about it. That it took over. Not only they lost desire, even for their own spouse. Not something to play with. This is not a message on that this morning. I'm just throwing this in. Is we have a responsibility to keep control of our flesh.
Yes.
So we think about, the sexual sin, and we think about violent temper, where you want to beat somebody up or shoot somebody, whatever. I mean, that's the flesh out of control. But the flesh out of control can take other forms as well. You battle sorrow so much you just can't go, it's really more of the soul. But you battle these feelings so much you can't get out of bed. You can't function. Trying how to get you some of this up without. The flesh out of control can include. No, I don't want to go there. Praise God. That you have so lack of self-control that you never know when somebody's going to go off. Maybe not to beat anybody up, but the devil obviously takes over at that time and has a meltdown moment. And we've got to keep the flesh under. Say, no, flesh, you're not dominating this. Yesterday I showed great restraint. I only ate 6 donuts yesterday. I had two dozen with me. But again, that was over ever since until about midnight last night. So, if people would come and eat their share of donuts, I wouldn't have to eat them all. But we've got to tell the flesh where the line is in many things. Will not dominate my life. The one I was going to mention was the refrigerator. That's an area you can let the flesh get out of control. Dominate your life. Now, we may think that's no big deal, but God calls gluttony a sin. And sin opens doors. We don't know what else is coming in through that unrestrained flesh to have an impact on our lives. Amen? So Paul said, I've got to keep the flesh under control. Matthew chapter 26. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
I really have some place I want to go with it, but I gotta go through the other aspects of it first. Matthew chapter 26. This is Jesus in the garden. And he's facing the cross in just a few hours. They arrest him here in just a little bit. And he knows he's about to face the most torturous death that's ever been devised by man. And so, he says in verse 41, telling the disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. They're about to be tempted. They're about to lose all they had their faith in. Jesus is about to die before their eyes. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When you get born again, God gives you a brand new spirit, brand new heart. You want to do the things of God. You want to please God. But this flesh wants to get in the way. This flesh just wants to take it easy. The flesh likes sleep. Scripture tells us repeatedly, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of rest. So comes destruction. That you give the flesh too much option just to take it easy. It'll destroy you. Sometimes you got to tell the flesh to get out of the way. I've never been a morning person. I've always been a night owl. From the time I was a little kid, my parents said they'd go to bed and I'd be up riding my tricycle in the middle of the night. A few times drunk, running into walls. Right, find their beers. Anyway, so they share. I wasn't drunk, I was tipsy. Yet, 37 years or so ago, Apostle Callan, Patrick Callan at the time, went in a denominational church. I don't even know him. We're in a church of 1,300 people. He didn't know me. He announced from the pulpit, we're starting morning prayer service from 6 to 7 in the morning. And I felt God say, you need to go to that. I hear him say it, I just felt earned. I wanted to learn to hear the voice of God. I'm going to go learn to pray. And he made the announcement. Not even a big deal. Whoever wants to come can come. I didn't know anybody that was going. But I decided to go. Which meant to get there at 6, I had to get up at about 5. Somewhere between 5 and 5:30 to get there, to get ready and everything, because I went from there to work. And I start going. You talk about having to make the flesh shut up and get out of the way. When you're up till midnight or 1 o'clock and then, you know, the alarm hits at 5 o'clock. Get in the shower or whatever. And go to prayer tired. Finish tired. And keep going and going because you wanted something that God told you was in that. At least he led you into it. The flesh, the spirit's willing, but sometimes you got to kick flesh out of the way. Now, I'm not meaning you step on toes this morning, but so many people will skip church because I was just tired this morning. I was tired at 4 a.m. getting a message for you. You follow me? It was sprinkling. I didn't want to get my hair wet. Whatever. Didn't feel quite right. Listen, if you don't feel good, see, here we go. If you don't feel good, you need to be at church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because there's healing power in this building. I myself have had symptoms free of just getting behind the pulpit. Many, many times. Come to church with a headache. You haven't had enough tea or up too late or whatever, getting up too early or, you know, early than I wanted to. Get in my head and start preaching or start worshiping, and it goes. This is the place to come if you don't feel good. I recognize if you're throwing up and you've got, you know, major contagious symptoms, stay home. You're just feeling bad. Tell the flesh to shut up and get out of the way. Tired. Splash some cold water in your face and get up and come to church. Now listen. I don't keep record. I don't judge. I don't condemn anybody that misses church. Not my job. My job is to preach the word and love on people. You follow me? But you choose how much of the kingdom you want to move into, sometimes by how much of the flesh you give its way. And we can be on fire for God one day, say one season, one year, years, and decide, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do it at that level. And that could be a form of backsliding. But now you're letting the flesh have its way more than before. I recognize we have a lot of senior people in here, and you may not have the energy level you used to have. You don't have to do what you used to do. But do what you can at the same level you did before. Isn't this fun? The spirit is willing. The spirit wants the things of God, but the flesh will get in your way. You got to get the flesh to shut up. And most Christians have no ability to do that at any high level. They can listen. They can tell the flesh to shut up when they have to go to work and earn a paycheck. I couldn't tell you how many days, how many years I went to work drunk from the night before. And even more hungover from the night before. Because that flesh, once it was the end of that work day, that flesh took over. What do you want to do? Hey, let's go get drunk. You got to work tomorrow. Hey, let's go get drunk. Flesh didn't care. It wanted to drink. It wanted to party. It wanted to stay up late. There were many times I stayed up all night and went to work the next morning. Partying. Or late into the morning. Y'all keep looking straight ahead like you never did it. I did it a lot.
Go to work with stamps on my hand.
Probably a few times a week at least. And I'm hungover at work. That flesh will kill you if you give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Remember where I was going with this. Here we go again.
The hands fever.
Sophie Kennedy.
The spirit's willing, the flesh is willing.
You can work the things of God, and the flesh can still dominate your life. And I had a point to make, then I forgot what the point was, but it'll come back to me. Amen. So, flesh. Oh, that's what I was going to. I remember Sammy would hit me. Even though I was hungover, even though I was tired, I never skipped work. Why? That's my paycheck. That's my alcohol money right there. That's my beer money. That's my rent. I made it to work no matter how I felt. But it's amazing, the same person that has that determination, I'm going to make it to work, never missed a day. Barry, how many years did you work and never missed a day at
Winnington?
How many years did you work and never miss a day at work?
Oh, 32. Wow.
32 years and never missed a day. I'm not picking on Barry, but there are people in here that could probably claim that. Yet, you know what? I just don't feel like going to church today. I really feel like I'm supposed to do blanket intercession this morning. I'm called a spiritual snorefare. And the smallest things will take them out of church. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is dominating. You can do it. You've proved you can do it for the job. But you can't do it for the kingdom. Really, it's from not valuing what you're going to get at church enough, and that you don't value it more than that paycheck.
Yeah.
Or else you'd be here. Again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody or condemn anybody. I'm just telling you that flesh will try to run your life. Amen. And of course, the form of backsliding is when you've got dominion over that, and all of a sudden you go back to letting it control. We are restarting all night prayer this next Friday night at 10 p.m. My flesh is not excited about it. He said it again. My flesh is not excited about it. But the Spirit's willing, and it's going to win. Amen? And here's what I'm going to guarantee you. If you come to all night prayer, whatever night you come, God's going to show up, and you're going to be glad you came. We have what we call a caffeine anointing. It's amazing. I can work all day from early morning and work the day before that hard. And Friday night coming, I am spent. I was working for the weekend. Spent. And I live half an hour from here. At 9:30, I got to come to church. It used to be 10:30, it started at 11. I want to go to bed. But no, it's on our prayer night and you're in charge. You got to be there and make myself come. When we start praying in the Spirit, pray for 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour. Oh, God, you ought to get it. And all of a sudden, something hits us. I'm telling you, it's supernatural. That all of a sudden, you are refreshed and awake and can't wait to pray all night. And it's a power source from God. We called it the caffeine anointing. It hit us. I said we did all night prayer for what? How many years? 17 years, something like that?
April of 2009, and it started right after I got there.
So 2009 to 2024, we did it. So that's 15 years. 15 years on my prayer. I can only think of two times that caffeine anointing didn't hit us. For 15 years. And I got to the place, flesh, shut up. We're about to step into something. Because it's real, isn't it?
It sure is.
You're energized all of a sudden. Why? Because you put the flesh under. God says, okay, I'm going to energize you with my strength and my zeal. And it's going to hit us this Friday night, I guarantee it. It's going to hit us. And he goes, you may have to drag yourself here. You're going to be glad you came. Now, if you have to work on Saturday, you can come for an hour or two if you want to. I wouldn't try to stay all night and it work the next day, because there is a come-down point where that body's going to sleep. But you'll be energized. Wow, I'm not even through the introduction yet. Have I been preaching that long, teaching up?
Yeah.
You are a blessed people. Let me get to the gist of what I'm going to talk about in the following few weeks. If you're coming to a church and they're preaching faith, they're teaching anointing, they're teaching giftings, you're after it, and you're going for a while and you're learning about divine healing and divine health and sowing seed for increase, but you decide, I think I've had enough of this, you go back into religion. Even if you switch, you can do it here, go to a different church. You find a dead church, use backslid.
Oh man, big time.
No, I still believe in Jesus. No, backsliding doesn't mean you quit God. It means you go back to a lower level than you were before.
Yeah.
Because your heart made a decision. It didn't want to press anymore. Didn't want to fight anymore. Didn't want to be a soldier anymore. I just want to appease the flesh or even the soul. Just take it easy.
Yes.
At this church, we get out of half the time your church gets out of. There's no demands on our life. They don't care if we tithe or not. You just backslid. Because you were pressing into the kingdom and you decided, I'm exiting the kingdom. Now I'm just going to hope for heaven. And that's also a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord God. I'm not trying to scare you into staying. I'm trying to tell you, these things are real. Amen?
Amen.
From the time I was saved, I never tried to look for an easier church. I tried to look for more. I'm going to say a dancing church. We started off in a denominational church. I was reading through the Bible. I'm closing in a minute. I was reading through the Bible, and I never read it before. I wasn't, never been to church. All I read were miracles. I read the gospel, you know, lame men are walking, blind eyes are seeing, deaf are hearing, devils are being cast out. So we would start going to church. And the preacher taught a nice, you know, 20-minute sermonette for Christianettes. And with all the stuff in the bulletin, every line, I'm following through. Okay, now at the end, now they're going to pray. Because they have the end of benediction, you know, ending prayer. Now they're going to pray for the sick. Now we'll see the miracles. And they said, be blessed, go home or whatever. I thought, they didn't pray for nobody. We went there for, I don't know, a month or two. Wasn't real long. I left because they wanted to stand up for a week because we weren't members yet. Anyway, I'm going to think. Let's find a different church. We went to several churches, but we found a church that believed in the power of God. And they were seeing some power, seeing some giftings. And it was like, yes, somebody believes the word. Yet it was a Pentecostal church. It was in bondage. And every sermon was about fear of hell. And we knew there was something missing. Patty especially. Well, I did too. And we tried another church. We come in, and right when we come in, they bring in this new pastor who's they're interviewing to take the job, Pastor Ron Callahan. Right over, start teaching faith and the kingdom and divine healing and health. And I thought, yes, and we connected at a higher level. We're always trying to find a church that knew more, preaching more aligned with the word versus dialing it down. Make it easier. And now that's been 39 years we've been in this ministry. And I'm not going back. I believe this Bible is a book full of timeless revelation to take us to the glory of God. And I'm going to keep my nose in, pressing into the kingdom, pressing after God until I get every bit of revelation out of it I need to carry end time Shekinah glory. See the harvest of God coming. Amen?
Amen.
What's it take? Not what can we get by with? Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Yeah. Father, I declare in your church there are no sick, none in pain, none in lack, none in oppress, none in fear, and there's no strife. And we embrace the opportunities to move in your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.